To praise God in this space. I know there's lots of people who are out visiting, and we have some guests even here today. And so if you are just visiting or your first time here, a big welcome to you. We have a welcome crew who'd love to talk with you and get to know you a little bit as well and give you a gift as well. But hey, September 8th was Discernment Sunday. Anybody remember that? Let's see a show of hands. December 8th, show of hands, were you here? Where we had the questions on the wall, and we put sticky notes as we listened to God. Raise your hand if that was you. There's lots of you that were here. We had 225 people that went around and listened to what Jesus was saying for our church in seven questions that was discerned earlier in the year. That was an amazing day for our congregation to listen to Jesus on those items. And it was refreshing. It was refreshing to see the church mobilized and trusted to hear the voice of our God, whom we all trust in. So hundreds of sticky notes were flying as we put down and stuck up what we heard. Tim and I prayerfully organized the answer prayers into common themes and categories. Then we offered it back to EMC Servant Council on October 5th. And we asked seven questions in two categories of present and future. The results today will focus mainly on how our English congregation can respond and act. So there's actually a lot of content for me to get through today. It's a little bit more like a presentation of what you heard from Jesus here today. And I think there is, Levin, is there still some slides back there to put it on? And it's just one question at a time, so maybe. Anyway, question number one was this. Let's buckle in and get rolling. Was Jesus, how can we practically create a culture of listening to and welcoming the Holy Spirit? Culture of listening to and welcoming the Holy Spirit. There were four main categories to help us create a culture of listening to and welcoming the Holy Spirit. We heard a resounding call to prayer and spiritual practices, an emphasis and affirmation in our worship gathering, a call for our community, and a precedence for our leadership. Precedence for our leadership. So let me go through those four really quickly for us here today. Number one was prayer and practices. Prayer and practices. By far the largest collection of hearings that we heard from Jesus is we are hungry to hear from and experience God in all his fullness. That's the promise. Fullness from Ephesians 3:19. I was talking with our district superintendent this past week, and it's actually what their district office has been hearing as well. This is affirmed here at ECAC. There's an affirmation of the teaching and to press into more of what God is up to. Challenges for each of us to practice pressing into the Spirit in various ways. Some were listed out, the prayer of examine or confession, silence and solitude, encouragement, personal retreats, learning his voice in Scripture. Since coming to Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church, Wednesday evenings have shifted greatly for the EMC, for our congregation. We had sensed this shift to make prayer meeting not about a list, which we love the list, getting it out to know what's going on in our congregation and in our church as a whole, but by developing our prayer lives and listening to God for our community. It has been a space of exercising our spiritual muscles in prayer practices, types, and foci. We have learned to discern the voice of God, listening for words for our pastors and our ministries and our church, church-wide and in the EMC. It has been a sweet disciple time with prayer as our focus and work. Our group has been small, admittedly. It's been 5 to 6 people on Zoom on those Wednesday nights. So we encourage you, as Tim and I and the core there that's been there, put in great effort to create space on those Wednesday nights to meet with the Holy Spirit, to come on those and meet with God's Spirit with us. You experience prayers and practices and lean into the Spirit in all sorts of things and ways in that space on Wednesday nights. Plus, for prayer, we have a prayer room. Let's do a quick show of hands. Did you know we have a prayer room? Raise your hands. Yeah, we all kind of know it's there. It's over here on this side. A prayer room, you can come before service and stay a little after service. You can say, hey, can you come pray with me in the prayer room? Or, hey, I'd love to pray with you in the prayer room and invite somebody to pray with if this space is too loud for you in those moments. The first one was prayer and practices. We saw lots of sticky notes about this. The next one was this, in our worship gatherings. Welcoming and creating a culture of the Holy Spirit in our worship gatherings. There is a recognition that the Spirit's work is tangible in our worship gatherings. This is an affirmation. It could be our Sundays or the occasional worship night that TYF Summit or another group has put on. There was a resounding call for us to use these gatherings as a space to meet with the Spirit of God. This may be practices or listening or tools our worship leaders could lead us in. The council, Tim and I, will continue to design Sundays to be focused on the Spirit as we not only preach, but create these response times as well to equip you to practice and later or moments in these spaces to meet with Jesus. We have a chance, worship leaders, to learn and grow in our role as we tap into the Holy Spirit to lead our congregation in not just music, but a worship experience. This goes beyond Sunday. This may be a group spiritual encounter at a campfire or even a special worship night. But our worship gatherings are central for encountering and creating a culture of the Holy Spirit. But it goes beyond that to our community as well. Community. It was clear the Spirit was showing us that listening to and welcoming the Holy Spirit moves beyond our formal worship gatherings and into our community. We are not a Jesus community if we are not seeking His Spirit in our time outside of Sundays. We're not Sunday Christians alone. We have programming space to include spiritual practice and receptivity to the Spirit in our groups, disciple groups, fellowships. Your disciple group can practice and exercise their spiritual muscles there. The team here, Tim and I in council, are here to resource you and train you in that space and are available. And there's so many others here as well with that experience. Have a conversation, I encourage you, with your group or fellowship, what this may look like. Pick a couple of practices or things that you could do to welcome the Spirit of God into that space. Everyone can encounter the Spirit. Let's welcome Him in. Leadership, the fourth thing under this first question here today. Yes, a church can listen to and encounter the Spirit without leaders. We can. But it is far more likely to catch fire and remain an enduring flame when leaders are listening to and welcoming the Spirit of God. Jesus is the head of the church. It's Colossians 1. He sent us His Spirit to listen and lead with, namely the Counselor from John 14. So us leaders, whether you are a council member, an elder, or leading a ministry of some sort, us leaders, from all of those, to our AMM, to everything, to our facilitators, need to be people who listen to and welcome the only being who can bring the gospel to people's hearts, the Spirit of Jesus. He's the only one that can do it. The Holy Spirit practically leads the church when we stop and listen. Not just at the beginning of our meetings, we pray and say, God, welcome here, let's move on, right? But throughout. May we create a culture of listening. This is how we're leaning more and more in EMC Council, and we look forward to more. Then, we recognize and understand this. It is His work, and we get to be a part of it. What a privilege. What a privilege. So that was question one. How to practically create a culture of listening to and welcoming the Holy Spirit. So question number two. Jesus, how can we practically create a culture of listening to one another? Once we listen to the Spirit, it is imperative that we listen to one another, isn't it? God has placed each one of us here in this day, in 2024, at Edmonton Chinese Alliance. We are a community of people who boldly stand for and love Jesus and His mission. However, we can miss each other. We can misinterpret each other and assume they get what I'm talking about or thinking or needing. Jesus spoke to us when we met together that September day. and how to create a culture of listening to one another. Here are some of the key ways mentioned. Number one, create a safe environment. Jesus welcomed the outcast and everyone. If you read the gospel, it's unmissable. Everywhere he went, the houses of sinners and tax collectors, or even the great leaders, Jesus created a safe environment for all. The environment needs to be judgment-free and empathetic, even when our theological differences come out, which I guarantee there are some in this room right now. This means valuing people over programs. You've heard that before here. If a program is hurting people or getting in the way, then we need to make decisions that value people, even to sacrifice a program. It's not worth it. We heard that we are a people who truly gets to know others, stopping our busy lives to be present. This will need to be in our teachings and our practice with newcomers, along with each program we run. We'll need to train and practice creating safe environments in fellowships and groups. What does that look like? Number two, we need to learn to listen well. First, we need to admit that we don't listen well, right? If Jesus is telling us this, then it's time for us to learn. We need to learn to listen well to the Holy Spirit and to the least of these. What are the least of these? Those who are on the outskirts, maybe. Those without a voice. We must be the amplifiers of the voices that Jesus calls us to. Let's begin and ask our ministry teams, groups, and fellowships, how can we listen to the Holy Spirit and to the least of these? May our speech be seasoned with salt, it says in Colossians 4. There was even a call, this was really unique, to create a safe online platform that we can explore how to do that. And pass on even to the elders and communication team here. What a great dream someone had from Jesus. The third item under this is prayer, testimony, decision making. These I grouped together intentionally. Listening in a spiritual context can be unique, isn't it? It's different than a workplace. We have the common denominator of the triune God. We have great opportunity to listen in several powerful ways. One is prayer for one another. That's pretty unique to the church. Listen to the requests and follow up. A second is testimony. What other place can you testify about what God is doing in your life? We feel heard when we testify. We brag on what God is up to and give space to others to do the same. What a heart to listen to one another. This is why we create space in our services to testify to what God is up to. Announcements are designed to be this and not just information. It was a big shift we took during our COVID days. What is God up to, they'll often say as they give announcements. It's really important. We often share testimonies at prayer meeting or groups. Let's not just share the stories of people outside our church, but let's share our stories. You have a story to tell. Let's create space for that. Maybe a disciple group could even take a season of testimony or allow it to be a regular part of your rhythm. What would it look like every time you gather for someone to share a testimony? Decision-making is not for high-up leaders. You may think that, but it's not. It is key that we listen to one another as we make decisions. Again, it is unique that we center on the triune God. As we listen to him, we turn and listen to one another in what happens here at ECAC. This includes overall decisions and small decisions. We listen. Council is a perfect place for this. Your EMC council, the leaders, the volunteer leaders over this congregation. They'll continue, I guarantee, to explore steps of how to include voices that may be lost. I've heard that concern over and over again in that group. It's a beautiful thing, really. The key in our structure is representation on council. We have been short a few serving deacons on council, and we have felt the loss of those voices. Adding those key members from TYF or outreach can strengthen our decision-making together. Keep that in prayer. The next thing in this one, to listen to one another, is intentional engagement. We can talk big and create forums, but are we truly listening? We heard from Jesus that we need to engage intentionally, and it means being vulnerable. What a scary word, vulnerability. It means reaching out to those who've been excluded, intentionally or not. It means seeking out those who are on the outskirts. Practically, we have been affirmed from Jesus that the value we place on our discussion times in our services, that came out over and over, of that intentional engagement in our worship gatherings. They've been precious times for so many. In a world that has been excluding spiritual conversation in the mainstream, it's a safe place here. And then there's our communities. What does it look like in our communities, our groups, our fellowships and mentorship to listen to one another? We keep hearing that our groups and fellowship communities are key for everything. And it is no exception for hearing one another well. Jesus is showing us that this structure of groups and fellowship is significant to hearing from one another. It needs to be intentional space. I speak that to not only our facilitators of our groups, but also to each member in them. We can all create a posture of listening. This also means we need more and more mentorship in our lives, those who can speak into our lives from a season ahead of us. You could be a mentor for somebody, to provide great ears for somebody who needs a listening ear, guiding them to Jesus with each moment in life. Deep breath. This is a lot of content. I get it. So deep breath, and I'm speaking really fast because there's a lot to get through. Question number three. Jesus, how can we practically create a culture that supports local and global missions? This was a big question, and Jesus answered in mighty ways. Our alliance and local DNA has been to be a church on mission ever since its genesis. Locally and globally. We have heard from Jesus that we need to be active in creating a culture that supports and ignites works of the gospel around the world. When you listened, Jesus spoke to us in how to create a culture here in EMC, our English congregation, and even collectively in Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church. We'll pass a lot of this on to the elders and the missions committee, but the onus is on us. We are the people to act. We heard four main ways that we can create this culture. They include testimony and creative promotion, creating opportunities, foster a heart to reach the lost, and fourth, a relook at our finances, which was really intriguing. So, testimony and creative promotion. Whether it's Sunday videos or live in person, or maybe it's cultural food tasting or special sharing nights. These were all ideas on sticky notes. We heard a call for us to be sharing what God is doing in our international workers. We are already connected to and the missional work we go on in a great way. Our church is involved in mission locally and globally. Some of these are primarily financial in feel, but include real people on the ground in many cases. The missions committee is hard at work now. On September 29th, the team gathered and discussed this very thing. We admit we have got lost a bit when it comes to who we support and getting their expression of spreading the gospel in front of our faces, but the time is coming where we'll creatively share more of our international workers and organizations around the world and here at home. That's an exciting piece. We also need to create opportunities. We heard this from Jesus. COVID-19 is no longer our excuse. We have heard from Jesus that opportunities need to be created and made more accessible. That word came up several times. Specifically, we heard from Jesus to press in more to our small and short-term missions, but to expand that locally even, to introduce people to our community and missions. We affirm that long-term partnerships and maybe even less of them are needed to help us focus. This was affirmed at our missions committee level as well. Church, we need to take initiative. in the groups level and the fellowship level as well. Ask Jesus, where could we be on mission together? What does that look like for a disciple group? Ask individually, how am I on mission in my everyday life? We'll continue to teach on this, and as opportunities are created, I encourage you, go. Go. Bite off something as a challenge and go. Our North American Christianity can wash out the heart for the lost. The reality of Scripture is clear. There is a message of the gospel and people who need to hear it. We are the people to take it to them. It's us. There's no one else. How beautiful the feet of those who bring good news. It says in Isaiah 52 and Romans 10. We are the hands and feet for those yearning for something more in our day. In a culture of plenty and choices, right? You felt it this morning. In a culture of plenty or choices, they actually fall empty. It's at the core of a person who cries out to their maker. We have that for them. We must teach this on Sundays and in our groups and everywhere. We are all on mission wherever we go. Wherever we go. To create this culture, it will take more than a Sunday teaching. It's not enough. It will take more than promotions. It will take each one to create that in your ministry, in your groups, and in your life. We take seasons of the year, each year, and we pray for the lost in our prayer meetings. It'll come up every few months. This may be local missions, global mission, the least reach, or family and friends. So again, feel free to join us on Wednesdays on Zoom, and sometimes we come in person. It's in the bulletin. The fourth thing in this category was our resources. We need to admit something. We have resources. We heard from Jesus that we need to be smart with our money with a kingdom mindset. We need to ask, how can we save to give more towards kingdom work? How can we constantly be reallocating personal funds and the funds of the church to the mission of Jesus as the main priority? How can we express radical hospitality with our building and our people to partner with kingdom-minded, gospel-centered organizations and people? This is for us at EMC Council to work on, and this will go back to the elders as well. So those things, those four things are really crucial to create a culture. The next question, number four. Hope you're taking some sort of notes and mental notes, or if you're good at that. If not, you might have to write something down here today. Jesus, how can we practically explore ways to enhance local missions? Similar to the previous question, that was creating culture, but how do we enhance our local missions? Now that we've heard from Jesus on that creating a culture, now we heard from Jesus on how to enhance our local missions moving forward. This began to be quite specific and exciting since it's very practical, something to jump on. We are and have been on mission, but Jesus is showing us how to focus and enhance to better spread the gospel for the kingdom. Four major themes came to the surface: partnerships, prayer, evangelism, and needs. Partnerships. There are great Christian and humanitarian works on the ground here in Edmonton. We heard loudly from Jesus, like I mean loudly, there was many stickies for this, from Jesus to connect and even partner with these organizations and even other churches. I've personally been in conversation with three other Edmonton churches inquiring about partnering on specific local missions. We look forward to exploring those on a pastoral and council level, but ask you, keep your eyes and ears open. Second one was prayer. Again, prayer. It was a resounding choir as we heard the voice of Jesus. Prayer for our community, our government, and partners, and prayer, not just contained in these walls, but imagine moving prayer called prayer walks. Have you done one? Think. We have over 600 people that come to church on a Sunday. What if they answer a call to walk their streets and pray for healing and salvation over the community? What might we see? That's an exciting one. Which leads into evangelism. And I admit, evangelism has been a dirty word in my mouth for many years. You've probably heard me preach at some point around this idea. However, even if evangelism has a negative taste in our mouths, there is a clear call to spread the name and work of Jesus, whatever you want to call it. There are ways we can not only invite people to church, but take the light of Christ out into our community in word and deed, as James 2 and 1 John 3 say. We need to get outside our comfort zone and spread the love of Jesus as we do acts of love, and let the words of testimony follow. May they be married together. One of the greatest ways I've experienced this is through prayer for non-Christians or pre-Christians. And this was reflected in our listening time. Jesus wants us to pray over people for healing and restoration of their bodies, their souls, their families, and everything. It's a simple, hey, can I pray for you? Then we testify in our church communities about the work of God. The fourth thing here is needs. This came up a lot. A lot of people had another question under this one. What is needed in our community? Sometimes we are blind to the obvious. We live in West Edmonton. Our church is located in this fine suburb. What is needed in our city and our community? We heard Jesus tell us to listen to those needs. This we can also help pass on to the missions committee, but it's each one of us with discerning eyes what might be needed here. We heard that we can take initiative and show radical empathy, generosity, and even sacrifice. Church, what does it look like to sacrifice for our community? In Acts 2, they sold their possessions to make sure everyone had enough. But do we even know what is needed? What we must spend time researching and getting to know our city. You can talk to a pastor or Elder Johannes, who our missions elder as well. The possibilities were spread out over the sticky notes. But the most repetitive opportunity that we have is the homeless, that even spread out to the West End here, especially in the summer. There's many ways we can enhance our local missions, and I believe it's becoming even more focused with these four. Question five, then, how can we practically explore ways to enhance global missions? I may sound like I'm on repeat. Does anybody think that right now? He's just speaking. I see some smiles. He's saying the same thing over and over again. But with listening to Jesus, that usually means we better act on what's being repeated. We heard earlier to separate these two questions of local and global, to see what Jesus wanted specifically in each one. Jesus did not disappoint. He never does. Though there's great repetition, the nuances are profound. Let me go through these here today. Promotion and awareness. This was profound yet again and repeated from the first question, that Jesus telling us to speak loudly internally here of what he is up to around the world. Except this time with global mission, it really focused on connecting to our international workers. God desires us to have deep personal connections with our IWs. We have had a precedence and will even more now look to make our international workers visible, live, videoed, in prayer, in person, in some ways, online. We can connect like never before with our technology today. In my previous church, we attempted to Zoom in an IW. Actually, it wasn't Zoom, it was Skype. I don't think Zoom really existed then. On a Sunday morning, we thought this was a brilliant idea. We have the technology, let's do it. Thank you. I don't know what it was, 2015 or something like that. And the call dropped several times, and eventually we lost him permanently. Sure, it showed the isolation of his work over there in Africa. But today, tech can connect us in ways we never thought imaginable. So missions committee and us council and pastors, we can do this here even more. I'll repeat it again. Prayer. When we are in prayer, this rhymes, we find that we care. Right? We are hearing God asking us to pray for wisdom and willingness for us and our IWs. To cover them in prayer is to care for them. With this, then, I think we must encounter his prayer to be on mission. We need to make missions accessible. There will always be a part of missions that is challenging. It's hard to do it. It's hard for our personalities, and logistically, there's things that need to be lined up. We need to make this more accessible, from making it less intimidating to making partnerships and trips for various skills. Our organization and administration needs to increase in order to send more people. Here's the good news, church. When the missions committee met on September 29th, as I mentioned, we are well on the way. I'm so glad, Johannes, I don't know if you're here this morning in this space, but I'm so glad we met before doing this presentation today. We are well on the way in redesigning the process to help make it more accessible in our modern day. And this beginning with a new policy that is being worked on currently. I've read it. Which then means this: regular missions and going and sending and our budget. And I grouped these together to speak a little more succinctly. We are hearing that enhancing missions is to make it a regular part of our lives. This entails sending teams and individuals both short and long term. We can be creative and make it a part of our disciple experience here. It means we also put our money where our mouth is. We were amazed this year. We were amazed when the church rallied around our two teams that went this year. And we raised more than enough to send them. Let's press into that generosity as we do this regularly. Well, let's also ask then a question. What might our budget look like with a larger percent focused on missions? Are we willing to do that? This can be helped by staying connected with our larger alliance tent for training and church partnerships. There's great work going on in the CNMA in these days. We also heard loudly that in our world, that the world is in our community right here at Edmonton. International students and ethnic communities surround us, are a part of us, are in our lives, in your workspaces. We need to ask Jesus and ourselves, how can we reach out to the global world here in our own backyard? Well, there's many ways to enhance our global missions, and these are getting very specific moving forward. I have two more questions, all right? So shake it out. We can do it. This is exciting for me. Jesus, how can we practically explore ways to transform our existing leadership structures? Three loud ways come out. As many sticky notes that were on that page, they all fell under these three categories. Equipping and supporting leaders. Jesus was very clear on this question. We heard language around equipping leaders and supporting them. This could be in the form of mentorship, apprenticeship, or training. But there's a call to spend more time and resources on calling and developing leaders in-house here. We all have leadership in us. We hear Jesus calling us to support our leaders by helping them connect with one another and to also provide a space where leaders can be heard. There's currently no formal leadership development here at ECAC, like a leadership 101 or something like that. One of the greatest opportunities so far in our English congregation has been to join a leadership team or find support from peers or a pastor. Our council has been a place of leader development, and for those leaders to continue to develop their leaders as well. And we look forward to exploring more of what that structure would look like. A second one to transform our existing leadership structure was explore leadership shifts. There was a sense to explore leadership shifts where women are involved, and the option then of functional church-wide pastors like mission, formation, or family care. And the last one here, again, I'm on repeat, aren't I? is prayer. We are called to pray for our leaders more. We need it. The only hope as a church is that we are connected to the Almighty and source of wisdom and life. So pray for your leaders. Last question. Jesus, how can we practically explore the possibility of a building expansion? This is an intriguing one. Most of this goes back to the elders as they discern as well. But the loudest one here was discern more. While we heard great potential for how to properly use our land, we have a bunch on this side in particular, which includes garden space, rethinking the portables and the prayer room. There was a clear call to spend more time discerning what is needed and listening to God specifically on this one. But the second one here was also loud. Generosity. There was a significant call to be generous with our building now and to capitalize our usage. The call was to explore how to give specifically and be for the community in love, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The call was to be creative, generous, and outward focused. The third item here was people over project. It was the caution that people are more important than a building. Amen? There's a call from Jesus to not lose focus on people, even in doing a building project or an expansion. So we will pass this information along to the elders for further prayer and discernment. But we can begin. We can learn how to use the authority and privilege we have been given, or you have been given at ECAC as members. Maybe you're a key holder in this space. That is the seven questions. All of them. There are many things that we heard that affirm what is happening already at ECAC and in our English congregation specifically. There's a lot more work to be done for His kingdom, isn't there? Most everything here, if you didn't notice, is centered around specific types of prayer or simply to come and pray. This much prayer is hard work. It's a privilege, but it takes determination, and it takes time of practice. Isn't that a fun way to think about prayer, practice? So we need to continue to lean in, practice, and read and do various types of prayer to hear from God and pray for others, international workers, our leaders, and beyond. Church, I am encouraged. I'm actually excited for what God is up to here at Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church. The mission is getting more and more tangible. Can you feel it? So what I want to do as we wrap up our last 11 minutes here today is end with a few questions. The questions are simply this. What are you excited about the most as you've heard everything today? What are you sensing a pull towards when you hear all of this? Like, what's on your heart? What struck you as I rambled on for seven questions here today? And this one's pretty key because I did speak a lot, is this. What remains in your mind and your soul as we wrap up today? I want you to capture that today. You might not remember even what all the seven questions are, and that's okay right now. There's a record of it, it's fine. But for you today, what's remaining on your heart and your mind as we come to a close? And it makes me wonder, can we wonder what your role might be in this? He's probably drawing each of us into something from these seven questions. So let's spend a few minutes in prayer to listen for a moment on these questions. What remains in your mind and soul as we wrap up today? So Jesus, as we come, we've had enough talking for a moment, at least from this guy on stage. But God, what is it? What is exciting us in our being? What are we sensing a pull towards? What can't we get out of our minds that was spoken about today? So take a moment, church. Begin to ask him this. I'll give you a moment of silence here. Something is coming to mind. Begin to talk to him about it. God, what is my role in this? So Jesus, as these things come to our minds and our hearts, would you make them sticky? I like a sticky note or stickier, and stick it on our hearts and our minds, that we're not able to shake it, that we discern what my role would be in this. So church, if you feel appropriate, open your hands as an offering back to Jesus, saying, though, Lord, we don't know exactly maybe what my involvement will be in this, I just hand it back to you and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We offer these to you, Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So Jesus, we commit ourselves to these things, however it may unfold over the next several months and years. We commit ourselves to these as we explore what it might look like. In Jesus' name, amen. As Ken comes up and worship team comes up to lead us in a final song, just turn to somebody. Be brave today. What was something that stuck in your mind today? So just turn to one other person today.